We are very fortunate this morning to have a young lady who is anointed by God and speaks truth and is sharing with us. The ladies have had a night and a half of great seminar.
Yes.
And Mavis and Jeff live over by Good Thunder, Minnesota. I'm sure everybody knows where you could drive right to that, couldn't you? Actually, Mankato.
Yeah.
And so we're just delighted to have Mavis and Jeff with us. Will you give them a hand? One more thing. As you're doing that, we'll do another one in a minute. She does have a table out there. There's a lot of good, interesting stuff. And just make it available to you. It also helps them to travel and do the work that God has called them to do. And so now give her a hand, will you?
I always say Jeff wants that mute button at home, but he can't find it. So, you know, I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be with you all this weekend and to be a part of a service that will yield itself to God. What an unusual thing that is. Honestly, I can't remember the last time I was in a service like this. And so I just want to remind you before I start that Pastor said we'd eat sometime. Today. No, I'm kidding. I'm conscious of the time and I realize you can only take so much in one day. And you've already had today more church than most people get on a Sunday morning without a message. You've already had more church. But I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for opening your hearts, giving time to this weekend. I just so appreciate the women's ministry inviting me to come and Pastor Dwight, Pastor Kirk, and all of the leadership just having me come in because... What can I say? I just have felt something since the first time I was here, felt something brooding over this area and over this church specifically. And I would call it a spirit of revival that's brooding over here. And we'll talk about that a little bit today. But it's significant. You know, Marnie was going to advertise our event in the paper. And so she just took the information down there and told him to put it in the church page, you know, where it goes. And they called her and said, we don't have room in the church area to put the article. Is it okay if we put it on the front page? And she said, well, sure. She goes, is there a charge for that? And they said, no. So they put it on. But now she didn't tell them what to write. She just gave them information about me and what we were going to do, when the times were. And the headlines on the front page of the Sisseton Courier say, Footprints of Revival to be Held at COC. Yeah. And I think it's a prophetic sign. Because it's not about me. It's not really even about COC, but God wants to bring revival to this area. And because of how you yield yourselves, I'm taking that one home. You'll have to get your own copy. But I just thought it was so significant because I think that's a prophetic sign of what God wants to do here. And I think the service today is even evidence of your hearts to yield to what God wants. And so if it's okay, I would just like to bring a little more equipping. I feel like God sent me here to bring some structure to it. Not that I know more than anyone. I'm just telling you, I'm so privileged to be a piece in the puzzle. Because I'm the biggest fan of watching God move. I thought, if Pastor Dwight preached, praise God. I'd rather have God move than speak. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm okay with all of this. And I already left two pages of my notes away from here, so you can already exhale. And I've been modifying it in my mind because I want you to get the equipping that you need. Amen. And that's my heart, to be a part of this. And I feel like the major part of our ministry is equipping. And so, God, we just come before you today. And we thank you, God. You had this day in your sights, God. You have a plan for this day. So God, I just ask you that as we're going through this, as we go through the message today, God, as we peer into your plan for our lives, God, would our hearts be open? God, would our hearts be open?
Yes.
I even believe as we prayed for healing, God, from certain issues, chronic issues, both physical and mental and emotional, God, as we prayed for chronic issues today, that loop to be broken in our mind, God. I just pray that we would be better receptive, God. We'd have more capacity to hear from you today. God, equip us for what's coming. For surely, surely something is coming, God. Amen. A move upon the earth like has not been seen before. God, the former and the latter rain coming together. God, we thank you for that deluge of the Spirit that is coming to the earth. And God, what a privilege that you would grant us part in it. Oh God, we give you praise and glory and honor today. God, would you give me utterance in the Holy Spirit? God, I yield myself to being used, God, of you today. God, my words matter to nothing, God, but your words are spirit and life. God, release spirit and life in this place today, God. I thank you for manifestations of the Spirit coming forth even now, God, as we continue your service. God, you don't stop healing just because the word starts. I just thank you, God. God, let there be a roar from heaven today. Oh, God, release your Spirit in greater measure. In Jesus' name, God, have your way. Amen. 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 I really believe with all my heart that heaven really, if we could see it, you know, we sometimes think that we're waiting on God to bring revival, and really God's waiting on us. And I really see heaven like if you would take a big sheet and try to hold up a lake, you know, hold up a lake. Something's wrong. Oh, it's my pocket. Is that better? Okay. See, I'm oblivious. I'm just like in the word right there. Okay. But if you would take a sheet and drop, what's the biggest lake in the area? Just give me anyone. I don't care. Traverse. You just took a sheet. If you were able to pull that up, can you imagine the weight on that water pulling down? That's how God's weight is pressing down to release revival in the earth. He's just looking for any crack, any crease in the Spirit where he can release life and Spirit and wow, in the earth. I want you to begin to see the want to of God. And so, God, align our hearts today for that. Couple definitions. I feel like even through our time with you, God has, we talked a lot about revival language over the weekend, and God has begun to bring that now to the top of our thoughts. So it's not something that we're pushing back, because really, I've been in this for decades, and it's so easy to get into unbelief about this. Amen. Because, well, they've been talking about that, or there's this prophecy that, no, let's put that all away because God is true. And this thing isn't going to end less than what it started in Pentecost. Pentecost even doesn't compare to what we'll see in the end here. Because he said the glory of the latter house is greater than the former. So I'm ready for greater glory. Amen. Okay, let me give you a couple of definitions for this. But it's really a movement of the Holy Spirit bringing about a revival of New Testament Christianity in the Church of Christ and its related community. That was J. Edwin Orr. Duncan Campbell says revival is a community saturated with God. I like that definition. But this is the best one from Stephen Alford. I don't even know who these guys are except for J. E. Orr. I know I've heard of him, but this guy I love, Stephen Alford, he said this. Revival is ultimately Christ himself, seen, felt, heard, living, active, moving in and through his body on the earth. I love that definition. True revival is not man-centered, but Christ-centered. It is not about a type of music or special experience, but it's a fresh revelation of Christ in the midst of his people. People often grow sleepy or slow moving and desperately in need of a fresh awakening touch from their Savior. And I really believe that's what revival is. It's Christ really coming in a greater strength through his body. And I love what I think Pastor Dwight said at the end. He said that this isn't a platform revival. This is a body revival. Yeah. Either one of you, Kirk, said that. That's what we've heard that word for centuries. And another term for that is every man's revival. This is every man. So don't sit here and think, I hope the pastors get this and can help us with revival. No, this revival is for all of us. This revival is going to spread to every sector of the land. Every education, everything, every sector is going to be touched. The workplace, the education place, entertainment. Come on. Every sector of the land is going to be touched by this. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you today. We love you today, Jesus. You know, the early church believed that they were at the end. Okay, I'm not going to go through the whole process. You just saw me. I'm just skip three pages. Here we go. All right. But just listen with your heart right now. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter tried to preach a sermon, right, after being called drunk, can you imagine trying to preach drunk in the Spirit? Well, it'll come, so you'll have to deal with that. But he was just overcome with the Spirit, and he said, this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. You know what I'm talking about. Acts chapter 2, you can read. And he said, but Joel had promised that he would pour out in the last days, he will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Okay? He's quoting from Joel chapter 2. In the last days. Now, I don't know about you, but 120 is not all. So there's a segment of Joel's prophecy that's yet to come when the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. All flesh. But also, it also declared when he said, this is that, in the last days began on Pentecost.
Come on, it's true.
And so, and this dismantles this whole thing in the church where we're waiting for the end. We're already in it.
Yep, that's right.
I said, we're already in it. How would we live if we believed it was really the end? Ask people that have faced death. You live differently. Come on. You live differently. You shore things up. You say the important things. You do what needs to be done. Come on. What if we live like that every day? I can't wait till tomorrow to make things right with my family. Come on. I can't wait till tomorrow to tell my neighbor about the Lord. They lived like it was the end. That's why they started such a fire, bounced off of that upper room, and nearly the known world was evangelized within one generation. God's going to do it again.
Amen.
Because the glory of the latter house is greater than the former. It's always been God's will for himself to walk with man. When he made him in the garden, God walked right with Adam where he was. He worked with Abraham to bring a family, talked with him. And Moses, he met face to face. When he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, it was his desire. Read Exodus chapter 19. He wanted all of the people to meet with himself. But they said, no, Moses, we're afraid. And that's when the whole Levitical system began to come into play. And there was a priest. There was the priest and there was a separation. But then in David's day, he brought the Ark of the Tabernacle. He brought it back. And he didn't put it in the holy place, but he left it out where it could be in the presence of the people. Can you imagine sitting there with the Ark of the Covenant and the zzzz of God over it? Seriously. I mean, that's what heaven's going to be like.
Amen.
And see, there's going to be a restoration of the Tabernacle of David in our day where God will dwell once again with man. But have you ever been frustrated reading? Remember when Solomon dedicated the temple and the glory of God rushed in and the priests couldn't even stand? Are you like, they weren't even born again? Do you ever think about stuff like that? And God promised greater glory to us.
Amen.
We need some people smashing glory.
That's right.
Uh-huh. What? Like where we can't even stand. The glory of God is so thick in the place. We've got to take what's been promised and bring it into our now.
Yes.
It's time for that. And that is revival. And this is what I want to talk to you about today. That was about 4 pages right there. Okay? I'm abridging in my mind, okay? I want to talk to you about how to maintain a burning heart. Because we don't have a promise of when this thing is going to break forth. I believe it's now. I believe we're on the fringes of it already. But God, one thing I know for sure, this time with this move, God doesn't want the flash in the pan effect. He doesn't want just an outburst. I mean, wouldn't you be sad if you had it and you lost it? The what we've waited for so long, and we've watched it, and this isn't a criticism of anybody, but we've watched revivals and moves of God being mishandled throughout history, where there was pockets of the presence of God in certain areas, and we could name geographical locations, but where they've left there then. Right? I believe God wants to come to stay. And he'll usher in this last great move and harvest, and then he'll take us all home. Amen. Amen. Doesn't that sound like a good plan?
Yes.
All right. But in the midst of it all, we must regain, first of all, and develop a burning heart. Okay? We have to have a burning heart, because this is something that we're going to have to sustain. And now, when we talk about revival, we're not just talking about more services, longer times, even though we're experiencing some of that today. Amen. But we're not talking about that specifically. We're talking about a move that moves into our everyday. It's not just in the church services. It's going to move into our everyday. Okay? So I want to break that down. I think we have so many preconceived ideas about revival, just like you were talking about the preconceived ideas with people. We're just locked in this thing. And so we have all these ideas of revival that aren't even true. Amen? Of what it is, goosebumps, feather dust, gold dust, whatever. Okay? Revival is when God comes to stay. Amen? Amen. So I just want to do this. Open to Luke 24. We're going to go through this as quickly as we can today. But this is what will sustain us. Because when there's revival, there's going to be more demand on you than you're used to, okay? I was shocked at the demand. I serve in a pastoral capacity at my home church, and I was shocked at the demand on your personhood in ministry. Amen? When you move into deeper ministry, as you all move into deeper ministry, it's going to place a demand on you emotionally, physically. Come on. Come on. You're going to be in ministry 24/7. Yeah, come on. So we're going to need that burning heart. Luke 24, and we're just going to start in verse 28, and this is where the Lord appeared to these guys walking on the road. They were walking on the road, and they were so sad because Jesus had died. Have you ever been somewhere where things didn't turn out like you think they should? This is where these guys are today, okay? Luke 24, 28. They drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at table with them, that he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, much like ours were today. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" And so they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told him about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now let's go back up to verse 32. And they said to one another, now, here they're eating bread with this guy, the stranger they had met on the road. They didn't know it was Jesus. They're eating bread, and all of a sudden they realize it's the Lord, and he poofs out of their sight. Would we be like, oh? How many of you have seen somebody poof in the last week? Okay. And all they can talk about is how their hearts burned. They just saw a human being disappear. And all they can talk about, what most greatly impacted their hearts, was how their hearts burned with him. And I'm telling you, a burning heart is greater than the manifestation. Because a burning heart will carry you in your dry season. A burning heart will carry you when you're wore out. A burning heart will carry you and propel that ministry and keep you pressing for deeper levels in worship, deeper and greater miracles, deeper levels of revelation, deeper experiences of knowing God. A burning heart. That's why we must develop it. And as quick as I can, I'm going to give you six elements of a burning heart, because there's six arteries in a heart. I thought, God, you're cool. All right? We must know and mirror this in our hearts, and this will help us. The first one, okay, and we're going to stay. I think I'm going to try my best to stay here in Luke 24, and I'll just quote the rest of the scriptures for you. The first one, if we're going to have a burning heart, we need his proximity. We need his nearness. If we're going to burn, didn't our hearts burn within us when he read the scriptures to us. If we're going to have a burning heart, that's going to come from nearness to Jesus. Amen. Luke 24:15, we're right in that chapter. So it was while they conversed and reasoned, they're walking and talking, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. The first step to a burning heart is the nearness of Jesus. How many of you have had an experience with the Lord and you feel different when God is near? Oh yeah, just like today. Don't we feel different already without anything going on just because God is near? In their daily lives, but think about these people. In their daily lives and conversations, Jesus joined them. They were already talking about him. They were talking about what had happened back in Jerusalem. They killed our Savior. They killed him. They were talking about the Lord. They were in conversation about the Lord. They were talking about the Lord. And Jesus himself drew near and joined their conversation. What do you say about having conversations where the Lord can draw near? In our day-to-day lives, not just in church, and in the workplace, at school, on the farm. Amen? Having conversations where Jesus can draw near. You know, the first step of revival, and I've shared this all weekend, is with us. You know, I'm sorry we can't change the word. Amen. James 4 says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Now, I argued with the God. I said, God, that should be the other way. It should be you draw near to me, and you start it, God. I'm weak. And I'm going to say this in church, so brace yourself. And sometimes I'm pretty crappy. Ever feel like that about yourself? You're just having a crappy day and just, who would want to be with you? Not even Jesus, you know? So Jesus should come to me first. Come on. To help me because I'm so weak. But no, even in our weakest, our smallest step towards God, our smallest reach of our heart just moves God and he's like, whoo, makes up the difference. And so it's not about your strong reach. It's about your weakest whisper. And Jesus will meet it. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Number two, we need his priority. We need his proximity and we need his priority. And this was really talking about wholeheartedness. We talked a little bit about this weekend, but you know, Jesus didn't die for 10% of us. Amen. Wholeheartedness for the Lord. Right now, I believe one of the things that the Holy Spirit is doing is he's working to restore the first commandment to first place in the church again. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The first commandment, with all. And revival, let me tell you this, revival is going to take everything. So we may as well practice being wholehearted. Amen? Because it's going to take everything. And you know, this, if you're not careful, sometimes ministers, especially those of us that like points, like I like points, that's just the way I am. I like to have 4, 6, whatever God gives me. I'd like to have 100, but you would faint, right? But we have to remember this, okay? Let me just give you a picture of this wholeheartedness. Some of us look at this and we think, I can't do that. Like we think wholeheartedness depends on us. Wholeheartedness didn't start with us. 1 John, I think in chapter 4, verse 19, he says, we love him because he first loved us. Wholeheartedness started with God, way before creation. Okay, and if I had time, I'd take you into this, but way before there was ever time, God existed, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they were moving and talking and planning for the earth. But you know what else they were doing? They were pouring out love on one another. And the reason creation happened was so that God would have someone outside of God to pour love on. And so wholehearted, God loved us wholeheartedly to risk creation at the cost of redemption to prove love. Wow. I wish I could remember what I just said. God loved us so much, I'm going to try it. God loved us so much, it was so full of love, that he risked creation so he could provide redemption to prove his love. That's wholeheartedness. You see, we love him because he first loved us. And that's why wholeheartedness is the only measure. There's not a 5% measure. There's not a 90% measure. Wholehearted is the measure. It's the only measure. for God. And that's how He loves us. So we love Him back in the same way. Amen? Amen. The third one, the third artery of the heart is, and this is an outflow of love. Again, don't take these as a list of do's and don'ts. This is an outflow of relationship. This is an outflow of devotion and passion for God. Amen? A burning heart. If you get into trying to do these things, that's the quickest thing way to lose your flame. Get into legalism. This isn't legalism. This is about fiery devotion to God. Amen? The third artery is purity. And this is an outflow of love. An outflow of love. Let me just read this for you out of 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. What an awesome thing. Therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it's not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope, who has that hope? When we see Him, we'll be as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, for He is pure. I believe one of the outstanding characteristics of this next move of God is holiness. It's going to be a whole new level of holiness. Because when you start stewarding the presence of God, and that's such a loose term because you can never handle God, but when you're moving with God in this move, the holiness, again, it's just like wholeheartedness. It's the only measure, okay? If you question that, and much of the loose doctrine that's being taught in the church today, bless the Lord, we could really meddle there, refusing it. Just think about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, who thought they could handle God the way they wanted to. It was lethal. Amen. And God loves us too much to release power of God on a backslidden church. I'm sorry, I don't have time to puff it up and make it a nice conversation today. Amen? Right. He loves the church too much to release power on a backslidden church. And that's why He's working with us in character issues. He's working with us in honor. He wants us to understand how to move with the presence of God. And for it to be a blessing to us. There's two sides of it. Amen? Bless the Lord. One of the best ways to understand this, it's at the end of 1 John, it's 5:21, I think, where it says, beloved, keep ourselves from idols. Amen. This is purity right here. And in the Amplified, it says, from everything and anything that would take God's place in your life. That's an idol. Okay? Simple. But heavy. Amen. Pure, glorious power. God, what's coming? See, and nothing, I just want to say this now, nothing is worth what's coming. What's coming? There's no hurt in your heart. There's no pain in your past. There's no addiction that's great enough to trade for what's coming.
That's right.
Nothing. I'm telling you, it's so glorious and so wonderful. Amen. Number four. If we're going to move with a burning heart, we must have His proximity, the purity, and we must also understand His purposes. Okay? Because things likely, you know, I don't know about you, last time I checked, I wasn't God. And you're not. We don't always understand how He works and moves. Amen? We think we know. We know Him in a measure. But you have to understand this. I thought we'd already be gone by now. Seriously, I never thought we'd see the things that we're seeing on the earth and still be here. Anybody agree with me on that? So we have to just get out of that beam me up, Scotty mentality. Get me out of here, Jesus. And we have to say, we're here. So what should we be doing while we're here? How should we live? Jesus told us to occupy till we come. And that's how we have to understand His purposes. These guys that were walking on the road, you can read Luke, read this afternoon when you're having your Sabbath, amen. Read Luke 24. And you'll see these guys were walking and they were like, it wasn't supposed to be this way. One of the verses says, we were hoping He was the Messiah. We were hoping. In other words, their hopes were broken. Their dreams were dashed. You ever been there? God, I never thought. Jeff and I, in the last 2 years, have walked through a couple things, and we thought we'd walk through. never thought we'd walk through. But he carried us.
Yes.
And there's greater glory if we learn how to survive the afflictions of this world and come under the healing balm of our Jesus. And he carries us through. Amen. But we have to understand, in the midst of a crazy world, a mixed up world that no one can fix but God, we must understand his purposes and always look for his purposes in the earth. You know, Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about renewing our mind so that we can prove the will of God. I don't think that's just like, okay, Christianity 101, I've been saved 5 years, I'm past that now. I think we need to keep renewing our mind, keep meditating the word, keep proving out the will of God in our lives so we can understand what it is. Amen? Bless you, Jesus. God, help us. The fifth one, and again, any of these, you can tell if any of you know me, I could spend hours on each one of these, but I want you to get the meat of this, and you can add your own padding later, okay? Number five, the fifth artery, and this is probably the whole heart itself, but we really, if we're going to live with a burning heart, we not only need his nearness, but we need the person of Christ himself. Revival really is Jesus Christ. It's really Jesus Christ. Revival gets to be about so many other things. But really, it needs to be about Jesus Christ. I talked about that this weekend, too, is the greatest sign of the end times is not the wars and rumors of wars. It's not the earthquakes and the weather and the weird stuff coming upon the earth. It's deception. And the deception is related to the person of Christ. If you look in Matthew chapter 24, five times in that chapter, I have them marked in my Bible. But I'll just give you the verses, okay? Five times it talks about being deceived and it's tied to the person of Christ. I would encourage you with all my heart, just like a mother encouraging her children, please go deeper in your understanding of the person of Christ. I spent an entire year of the ministry, just everywhere I go, I just promised Jesus, I'm just going to teach on, I taught doctrine, the doctrine of Christ for an entire year. Because I felt it was so vital. And there's so much deception according to the with the person of Christ now. Theologians are denying the virgin birth. Not this isn't lay people. This is theologians are discrediting the miracles of Jesus. The actual resurrection of Jesus. Guys, we got to get back to the word.
Yes.
Amen. And the person of Christ. Okay, the verses. 4, Matthew 24. Here's the verses. 4. 5, 11, 23, and 24. And you know, the best way to combat the counterfeit is to handle the real. You know, I told the story, maybe even here, where they used to train bankers. They used to give them $100 bills and just handle them for days. Just handle those hundreds until then they'd slip a fake one in there and they were like, whoop, that's not real. And see, that's what we'll do. When we handle, Jesus said, handle me. Remember when he met him on the road, he said, handle and see that it's me. Handle me. Jesus can stand examination. The false ones cannot. Amen. I'd like to meddle on that too. All right. Number six. Here we go. Coming in for a landing. Number six is his preaching. We got to get back to the word. Amen. His preaching caused a burning heart. Let's look at Luke 24 and 31 through 33. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished from their sights. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and he opened the scriptures to us? Did not our hearts burn? See, I'm asking for a burning to return to our hearts when we read the word. Now, just think about this. If you read the context of Luke 24, he opened the Old Testament. There were no New Testament scriptures at this time. We have a whole new sliver in our Bibles that they didn't even have. Come on. They didn't have the Gospels written down. None of the epistles. They had the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi. That caused their heart to burn. So you want to be, I'm telling you, you want to begin finding Jesus in the Old Testament. It will set your heart on fire. I teach Christology in our ministry school. It is my favorite thing. I teach like five sessions, five out of 12 or six out of 12. Half the sessions are on the Old Testament. Finding Jesus in the Old Testament. Old Testament, when he appeared to man before he was flesh. Oh, who do you think was in the burning bush? Come on, you want to get excited about Jesus? That's why we need hearts that burn. He was in the burning bush talking to Moses. Woo, come on. Who do you think was in the pillar of fire? Jesus, come on. Who do you think the angel of the Lord was in many of the circumstances? Jesus, come on. Oh, God, waken our hearts, amen, to Jesus. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. Spirit and life. If we want our hearts to burn, we need those words burning in our spirits. Okay, last scripture, Luke 12. Just back, halfway back through the book. Jesus is talking about the end times here. And one of the greatest things that I think we need in the church, you know, the world is so tired of Christianity in word without power. Christianity just that's why they think it doesn't matter what you believe, whether you're this or that, or whether you're a Buddhist or a monk, or I mean, they don't care. You know, isn't it all the same? No, it's not all the same. But it's time that his body begins reflecting a difference in the earth. And we need to reflect it in the power and the demonstration. And I believe the passion of Jesus. Nobody was ever more passionate than Jesus. I mean, think about it. He was willing to suffer and die for people that hated him. Nobody has ever been more passionate than Jesus. But it's time for us to reflect that character in the earth. Luke 12, 35. Jesus says, in the end, this is what you must do. Let your waist be girded. And let me just say that. So they would take their long robes and they'd pull them up and wrap them in their belt so they could run. It's time for us to gird up our loins so we can run. They would do that when they were going to work in the fields or when they were going to war. We have both postures in the church, amen? We're going to the fields and we're going to the war. So we need our waist girded so we're unencumbered to go. Let our waist be girded and let your lamps be burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return. Let our waist be girded. And our lamps burning. And so I just want to ask the Lord today. If you'll just stand with me. I just want to ask the Lord today. You know, every world changer in the scriptures had a fire encounter. Amen. Moses had his burning bush. But every one of them had a fiery encounter. Amen. And I believe we need that. And as you're going forward, I'm going back to Minnesota. I'm believing I'm going to carry the fire with me. And I'm believing today that you're going to carry the fire with you. You know, fire changes the landscape. If you've ever seen where a wildfire has been, fire changes the landscape of a place. Amen? But it's also, these are days of great darkness, and we need to be burning and aflame so others can find their way through the darkness. Amen? Amen? So if you would like that, I just want you to stretch out your hands. God, I'm just asking you today for a deposit of your fire. God, when Isaiah had his own fire encounter, when a coal was taken off of the altar in heaven and placed on his lips, God, we need a fire encounter, God. We need an encounter with heaven's fire, God. Pentecost had its fire, had its tongues of fire, God. We're the church too, God. So we're asking you for a fire encounter this morning, God. God, would you cause our hearts to burn in such a way, God, that flame will never go out. God, a fire that will change the landscape of South Dakota, God. A fire that will change the landscape of our town, our families, our marriages, God. A fire that will change the destiny of our children, God. Would you burn in our hearts, oh God? God, in a fire that will burn in the darkness of this hour, God, when so many are confused about so many things. God, would you cause a fire to burn in your heart, God, so the world could find its way to you? God, burn in our hearts today, I'm asking. In Jesus' name, amen.